just zipping by. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Is it really 2:11 already?
It is.
503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, police could be telling us, how do you know you have to pay for the Wild Encounters ad? Says Marion Rambo.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, how do you?
I am Ramrod 69. Well, those are the only ads I read. Because the other ones are all like, yes, I've been placing countless ads in the Wild Encounters section.
Well, you do live pretty close to Ace of Hearts or whatever.
Thank you. That's exactly what I like to use to tell everybody. I like to use that as the landmark for my house. And the thing is, I try so hard.
You're moving around to that landmark. You've lived a few places over there.
I try so hard not to have that be the landmark, too, because I was like, well, you know, there's that, it's like my choices, though, because I live in Southeast, are all like, well, you know, there's the check cashing place. What else? There's the, you know, there's that.
There's the gas station.
There's a gas station. What else? There's like an unwed mother's place across the street. There's like, well, but they don't call it that. What do they call it? The family center or something. But it's totally like if you're pregnant and 13. But so I will try to, like, if somebody will say, well, where do you live? And I'll give them my address and I'll say, well, you know, it's kind of by, there's that Safeway. And then there's this sort of check cashing place where they'll go, oh yeah, Wife Swappers Club. And I'm like, yes, okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Boy, you want to, I will tell you this because we don't live there anymore. My wife and I used to live right across the street from that place from the waitress. Again, I don't care what anybody does. Different strokes for different folks. All I'm saying is, you want some cheap entertainment? You move into that apartment complex, which is right across the street from the Ace of Hearts. And again, I don't mean to cast aspersions on lifestyles. However people pursue their own pleasure, that is up to them. All I'm saying is, like on a Friday and Saturday night, you just get yourself a bottle of your favorite beverage, maybe a sack lunch. You just sit out there on the steps. Oh, no, Dennis is acting like you need a telescope. No, the people who go in there, you could see from the moon. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
But literally, like, do you remember in the Guinness Book of World Records, like those two fat twins riding the scooters? You know what I'm talking about? The two guys that weighed 1,500 pounds riding the little motorcycles?
Did they frequent the Ace of Hearts?
Okay, but imagine them, but if they both had a vagina. I mean, theoretically. I think there's probably a little... unless one is equipped with spelunking wear, I don't really know that could be verified. But I'm saying, and it's sort of like where there's no real ankle... it's just sort of a thigh that goes all the way into the shoe.
The kinkle.
Yes. The worst part about it, though, is, but, and it's, I swear to God, it was twin, like they were like sisters. Sort of like a, you know, sort of on their way in on a Friday.
You could see twin sisters go into Ace of Hearts.
Well, you know where we used to live.
No, I know. I've never been lucky enough to see anyone walking in, though.
Lucky, that's exactly the word I'd use. I'm not saying they were twin sisters.
Every time I go to your house, I'm always looking to see if I can catch someone going in.
I'm not saying they were twin sisters. It's probably one step too weird even for that place. But I am saying that they were... it was two very, very, very large women, both going in there, and they were both kind of dressed the same, but the really creepy thing is, each of them, over the shoulder, huge, like, beach towel, and then, over the other shoulder, big, like, duffel bag with, like, full of strange things rattling around inside. And it's like, that's as much as you don't want to start picturing things, your brain just sort of starts doing it without you. You know what I mean? You're like, well, I wonder what they're, you know, and then it's just sort of a mental blindness that happens there. What the hell are we talking about?
Dennis is here.
Hello. How are you, sir?
No, this isn't on. So, oh, is it on?
Oh, I was just reading this email. Anyway, so there you go. Oh, by the way, this email says about the ancient Chinese secret. The product was called. Let's see, where do I go? Rick, ancient Chinese secret. The product was called Calgon. I thought Calgon was the take me away.
That's a
Calgon
laundry detergent.
Take me away. Yeah, Calgon isn't a laundry detergent. Calgon is like a bubble bath, isn't it?
Yeah, they had the pictures. The woman, the commercials would be the lady in the bath.
You know, and she's saying Calgon, and it's like the kids screaming, and it's like the husband's banging his secretary, and like the house is on fire, and Calgon, take me away. And then suddenly she's swept up in the arms of Fabio or something, right?
Yes, exactly.
This conversation makes no sense to anybody at the age of 35. Somebody had emailed and they had said, what is the laundry detergent that had the ancient Chinese secret? It's not Calgon, because that's a bubble bath. I believe it might be all-temperature cheer. This is the most retarded conversation. I'm just moving on. I don't even care about it.
So anyway.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. I guess I was very lucky to get together with the Low in Vegas.
That's right. You just got back from Vegas. Where'd you stay there?
Well, we had a condo for the week, but we also stayed at Mandalay Bay.
All right.
Decided to stay. Wanted my wife. First trip to Vegas. I had to stay at the Strip just one night.
Now, where does the kid stay when you're in Vegas? Do you have a babysitter
Grandpa
here?
Grandma's.
That's what grandparents are for.
Yeah,
They're sort of the dog kennel of the adult world.
Yes, they are. No, a lot of video conferencing, a lot of messages. You know, I was did miss her a lot.
Video conferencing. The kid's got a brain the size of a kidney bean at this point. What
God,
is
it? You'd be amazed, man.
I'm not knocking the kid. I'm saying, how old is the baby?
9 months.
Doesn't even know you. Switch you out with some other parents at this point. Kid wouldn't even know.
Just insert someone else.
That's what I'm saying, man. Just get some other guy with a gravelly voice who smells like Brute, you know, and the kid's going to be fine.
I didn't realize I smelled like Brute, but thank you.
Well,
I only use one squirt, though.
Okay.
No, it was fabulous.
Bada bing. We should be doing mornings in Chicago on the Rover station right now.
Zing, zing, zing. No, it was fun. We went to Vegas, drank ourselves silly.
Fantastic.
Setting
a positive example for the child early on.
Well, we figured this would be our last bastion of...
Mommy and Daddy, you're going to go drink ourselves blind right now.
I tell you what, we were to the point, by the time we'd been there 3 or 4 days, I wanted to slap every single person. If you're a listener of this show, or any, if you're just a human being with a heartbeat, and you have children, I can only say one piece of advice. Do not take your children to Las Vegas.
No, no. Well, that's the Steve Winnification of that city, is that they're trying to make it,
good Lord.
They're trying, there's a stupid phrase they keep using where they're trying to make it an adult Disneyland. And I'm okay with something being an adult Disneyland, but adult Disneyland does not imply bring your whole stupid family along. I look, we don't have kids on the program, but I recognize that there's a place for kids in this world, and there's a place for adults in this world, and there's a place where you should be able to go and get away from children. That's all I'm saying. And again, this is not a thinly veiled sort of angry, you know, whatever, anti-child rant. I'm just saying, I think it's a fair statement. Like, I don't know, and you can never do this because of lawsuits, but I believe there ought to be child-free restaurants. You know, that whole thing. I've said this a million times. Same thing with Vegas, man.
Oh, it should. It should. Absolutely. I mean, when I'm standing behind a pillar at Monte Carlo, hurling my guts out, I turn around and say hello to, like, this 8-year-old.
It sounds so sexy when you say it that
way.
Well,
you know, I mean, I do what I can. But, I mean, it was just, you see, the thing that irritated me was, like, we were at Stratosphere. We go to the rides, you know,
right.
The top. It was absolutely a blast. And we see this lady who's juggling her 2 4-foot-tall plastic drinks. And her 4-year-old falls on his face, and she starts screaming at him to get up. I just about, like, hockey-styled her right into the wall.
Mommy, pick you up, and she's finishing this Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just... But it was a lot of fun. I got completely destroyed at poker the first night. That's why you don't drink, you gamble with a lot of cash.
No, you're the reason why if I gamble, and especially if I'm playing poker online, I only do it between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m., which is what I call the drunk window. And here's a little tip from me to you. I'm not advocating that you play poker online for real money, because that may or may not be illegal right now. I'm unclear about that. All I'm saying is, if you're going to engage in that behavior, you just start doing it at 7 p.m. at night, and then you quit doing it around 1 a.m. our time, because that is when people on the East Coast, and then the wave spreads across America, everybody, like all the guys who are like 40 years old, and they've had a few that night, and they're up playing poker, and they're all playing badly.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you do. It's the drunk window.
Oh, it was fun. I mean, we played a lot of blackjack, had some fun with that, too. My wife was doing really well at blackjack, but this was the key to us getting out of Vegas without blowing all our money.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing tremendously well, and I would just reach over and grab a bunch of her chips and black out real quick and put them in my pocket while she was gabbing with someone.
Look over there, shiny thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take the money, put it in my pocket.
All right. Let's see, Charlie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis, I got a question for you. I just received in the mail from Ferrari North America an invitation to go to Portland International Raceway on Sunday to drive their 612 Scuglietti.
Yes. I would go.
You know what I mean?
I would highly recommend driving someone else's $395,000 car and hope that they don't put a Ferrari engineer in.
My question to you is, number one, who do they send these things to? And what questions can I ask so they'll let me take it out on a track?
Now, I don't understand. So you're just some guy and they just sent you a thing in the mail saying, would you like to come drive a Ferrari?
I'm a guy that listens to Rick Emerson. Why would they send me an invitation?
Okay, what does that mean?
Well,
screw you, pal.
I'm a tool, Rick.
Okay. Well, okay. Just for embracing your inner self, sir, we'll give you a pass. No, is this like the thing that my wife got suckered into a couple years ago? Where they're like, "Would you like a free trip to Vegas? All you have to do is sit and listen to this 9-hour timeshare thing." And which I tried to convince her was a scam, and she didn't listen to me, You know, and I went along just for the smug satisfaction of pointing out that it was all a scam, but of course then I ended up having to sit there for 3 hours rather lecturing on about some house that we're never going to timeshare and some place that we're never going to go to and a deal that we're never going to take advantage of. Also, we can get this voucher to Vegas that we're never going to use because it requires going on a Wednesday in March at 2 a.m. and coming back Friday at 1 in the morning and walking 7 miles to the airport. So, is that what this is?
Well, it says it includes 2 complimentary tickets to the Ferrari Challenge and an invitation to the VIP hospitality.
Okay, let me just, first of all, when they say VIP, VIP, whenever they're advertising that it's a VIP room and it's a thing you've gotten for free in the mail, that's not really a VIP room. I think real VIP rooms aren't just mailed out invitation-wise to complete strangers who they've gotten out of the phone book.
Exactly, my point.
And ones that openly say, I'm a tool.
You are a massive tool.
Yes.
No, actually, that event is actually going on at PIR this weekend. The Ferrari Challenge, which is the F430s, there'll be a bunch of them there. There'll be a bunch of historic Ferraris there. And if you are a Ferrari fan or a racing fan of classic Ferraris, it is the place to go. I would take advantage of the free tickets. Myself, I'm going to get to drive the car, but I don't think they're going to let you loose in Portland in a $300,000 car. I wish you all the luck, and I'll give you my phone number if you actually get out of PIR with the car. We'll kind of pull a, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off with it. But unless that happens, I wouldn't bet all my chips on it.
So there's no inside tips you can give me to, like, convince them that I know what I'm talking about, that they'll just toss me the keys and say, oh, just leave us your credit card. And
what is it you're hoping to accomplish with this? Are you actually just looking to steal the car? Because that's kind of what it sounds like to us.
No, I don't want to steal it. I just want to borrow it for a while.
Okay.
I would
tell you what, we're going to end this call now, and thank you for listening, Charlie. All right,
that was
there you
fabulous.
Go.
Yes,
Charlie. Okay.
I, you know what? It was funny is because we were at a timeshare that we actually own. This was the best part is the shuttles would come up to take you to Vegas, right? And they would have the really nice air-conditioned shuttles, and they would let everyone on, and then go, excuse me, only owners are available for this month. And then they would stick, like, the timeshare people that got sucked in over to the non-air-conditioned.
You know what this is exactly like? This is like I had a friend of mine who was on the Jerry Springer program. And you can discern more about me and the social strata I come from by that one comment than by anything else I've ever said. But I have a friend of mine who was on the Jerry Springer show as a guest. And the deal, and she, of course, is, you know, just poor white trash, of course, and a great girl, not from, you know, the upper crust. But so the deal is, when you go to the Jerry Springer show, as long as you are leading up to the program, man, it is like first class all the way. Limo from the airport to the hotel. Limo from the hotel to the restaurant for lunch.
Don't they just liquor you up, too?
Yeah, totally. Booze, everything, the tab, open bar, you know, in the limo. You just no reimbursing for anything. I think they cover everything but the tip. Limo to the studio, you know, and then she's on the Springer show and she does her whole thing there. Man, as soon as the Springer show's over, she's like, so, okay, where's my ride back to the hotel? And they're like, well, you can probably call a cab. Bye now. We kick her out into the alley behind the studio, shut the door. And it's one of those doors, no handle on the outside. She's suddenly just outside in Chicago at about 9 o'clock at night, you know, just waiting, trying to find a cab to come pick her up. So, we should break here, shouldn't we? Well, let me do the Week in Geek, because we haven't played that yet. Let me do the Week in Geek. And then we will come back. We're here with Dennis Spitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. Let me make sure that I've got the... Okay. We'll do this the Week in Geek. We'll come back. We got a little more from Tim Riley. There was something else we were going to get to today, wasn't there? Chris, I mean, other than the vast reams of news. We're going to talk to Kristen Bowie and Scotty J a little bit. Oh, did we lose the guy whose son was going into radio? John? Yeah, all right. Well, all right. Probably just for the best. We're just going to depress him further. All right, we'll do this back in a moment. Here's the Week in Geek. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents the Week in Geek.
Greetings, programs. This is the still slightly recovering Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com bringing you the Week in Geek. This is pretty sad. Pendragon Pictures are attempting to sue Dark Horse Comics, claiming that Dark Horse has blatantly ripped off their version of the H.G. Wells classic War of the Worlds. Because, you know, there's so many different ways you can show aliens invading from Mars during the 18th century. If you listen very carefully, you can almost hear the sounds of millions of gamers screaming in pain and then suddenly silenced. The reason for this disturbance? E3, the International Video Game Convention, is officially dead, as all major game design companies are pulling out and refusing to have booths at the next E3 convention, wisely putting their money into game designs instead of 100-foot-tall inflatable Mario Brothers and women in chainmail bikinis. Attention filmmakers and fans of the macabre. You are entering the final week to enter your film or video submissions to the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. You can find out more at hpfilmfestival.com. The festival is held every year at the Hollywood Theater in October in Portland, Oregon. I'm Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, where you can find out all that which geeks were not meant to know. This has been The Week in Geek.
The Week in Geek. Only from The Rick Emerson Show.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we'll have our Rockstar Recap with Kristen from accounting. Jen Lane will be in studio as well. We're here with Dennis Pitsenbarger for the Portland Tribune. In just a moment, Tim Ryder will be here with the City Desk. Kristen Bowie will step in to tell us something embarrassing about Scotty J. Real quickly, Pete, you have a Thunderbird question, Pete.
Yeah, me and my buddy, we got a little bet going on. He says that it's a roulette wheel. I say it's a door stopper.
Okay. Thank you. Wait, hold on. Thanks.
Where's the... Yeah.
No, let me find the...
Thank you so much.
That guy waited like 18 minutes to say that. It was time well spent, sir. It's 503-733-2970. Before we go to the City Desk, Kristen, if Kristen Bowie wants to step in here, she was screening calls earlier in the stead of Scotty J.
Hello, Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How are you doing? Dennis, you want to swing that microphone over there? Hi, Kristen. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
All right. So you were here today while Scotty went down downtown with his We Demand the Presence of the Cruise Baby signs.
Yes, that poor guy. He had so much anxiety that he was actually worried about his coffee breath, so he was in there scrubbing his teeth and his tongue.
With his fingers?
No, he used one of the lovely pile of Quiznos napkins.
Oh.
Who knows how long they've been in there.
Scrubbing his teeth with a Quiznos napkin. That's so much better than I thought it would be. Really, I thought it was just sort of like using your finger to wipe away the scum.
Oh, no, he was going at it. Definitely, like, scouring.
You know, I have no idea. Seriously, those napkins were probably found behind a control panel somewhere.
I think they've been there for at least a year.
God only knows what that pile has been used to wipe up in the ensuing weeks. I can't even imagine. It is sort of cute and, you know, and retarded that he cares so much about doing a good job at doing something like that.
His anxiety was endearing, yes. Most definitely.
Now you went to the same broadcasting school that Scotty is now completing, right? Because this is the last step of that. Now, have you told him that it's, I mean, how do I put this? I don't wish to impugn the broadcasting school that you went to or in general, but I mean, have you told him that it's not necessarily an assured way to land a fantastic gig in broadcasting?
Oh, I've told him, be prepared, work two jobs for a while.
Yeah, or talk to any
Definitely.
Of these, talk to any of these hardworking, energetic go-getters in the back page of R&R this month who are preferring something in the Tulsa area but who would happily relocate for the
and
right position.
And they want a board-op job.
Yes, because that's what everybody wants. That's like wanting a job where a guy just kicks you in the nuts every day or something.
That's a dream job, then.
Yes, seriously. You should auction it off. I get a job where my fingers are slammed in a drawer every day and people spit at me. That would really be ideal at this point. And somebody did note that in broadcasting, because the idea of majoring in broadcasting or communications, that is totally when you have to shut your parents up somehow, but you don't have a real major and you're not really good at anything.
That's why I majored in communications, because I'm like, I like TV.
And because no one can really challenge you on it. That's the thing. It's like,
just let me drink for 2 years without having to explain myself.
Okay. Oh, Scotty's noted he himself brought... that he does this all the time. He's noting on the screen that he is constantly cleaning his teeth with Quiznos napkins.
Does he go stock up every day?
That's just bizarre. They have toothbrushes.
Yeah.
They have them. They've designed these things now that are actually bristly that will go between your teeth. All right. Well, fair enough. All right. Thank you, Kristen, so much. Thank you for coming in, and thank you for helping a wayward Scotty find his way through this crazy career of radio. All right.
No problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go now to your personal savior at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
At the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat Team Rather reporting. Well, things are getting worse for Lindsay Lohan.
Fantastic.
The party animal's pop career is over in Britain because the record company's upset she didn't bother to promote her single. They're sick and tired of her lazy attitude and are now calling her Lazy Lohan.
Lazy Lohan. I'm surprised that we didn't think of that. That's genius.
They spent a fortune recording her album last year, only to find she couldn't be bothered to promote it.
There's blood in the water.
The single she did release was appropriately named Over.
Okay. Hey, do we ever play that? Who was it that was doing Material Girl? Was it Haley and Hillary Duff?
The Duff sisters, yeah.
All right, we still got to play that one of these days. How the Corp sent that to us.
Meanwhile, let's go to number two on the second bank here.
Right.
Summer, for many people, means relaxing at the beach, playing in the sand, cooling off in the ocean. But do beware of jellyfish. They can sting you anytime, either on the water or on the beach. A sting from a jellyfish is painful and could lead to severe health complications if not treated properly.
Well, a jellyfish has tentacles, and on the tentacles are nematocysts. Those fire into the swimmer's skin. You'll feel an intense pain at the site. You come out of the water, you may see small little tentacles actually within the skin.
That sounds unnerving.
Meanwhile, University of South Florida shark biologist
Wait.
Dr. Dan Huber says...
Where?
Florida.
All right, there you go.
Never swim alone in shark-infested waters.
Sharks take advantage of isolated individuals, so if you're with a buddy, you're much safer in the water. You also don't want to swim where you can't touch the bottom, because if you need to exit the water, you'll be able to do so much more quickly if you can actually touch bottom and run out
Especially
of the water.
Especially because you can push your pal down and use him as some sort of an impromptu flotation device, like a seat cushion. When in doubt, save yourself. Let your friend die.
Pop superstar. Justin.
No, it's true. That's a scientific fact. No, it's...
Justin Timberlake, who was born the same year as MTV, credits it for helping to launch his career in more ways than one.
I kind of get,
blacker with every interview I give.
I kind of get, a little bit of credit for being a decent dancer, and I never really took a dance class. I kind of learned from watching Michael and Janet on MTV.
Okay. Am I wrong about that, or is he suddenly sounding a lot blacker when he gives interviews?
Maybe he's getting into the field of rhythm and blues.
Perhaps it's all this all started when he was on the cover of Vibe last year, which was surreal enough.
And he got his first tattoo.
Did he?
Is
it a Chinese character?
Yeah, no, he has some weird like sun thing.
Of course. Mm. All right.
Tommy Lee apparently didn't have any need for the freeway to get his 9-inch nails concert in gear. City attorney for Los Angeles has filed criminal charges against the pilot of a helicopter that landed on the city street in the Hollywood Hills to pick up Lee and some friends, the flight of the show. In the city of Los Angeles, helicopters only allowed to take off and land at airports. The Bent dispute is over. Meatloaf's record label notes in a statement that the classic rocker and producer Jim Steinman have resolved their issues regarding the use of the phrase "bat out of hell."
Now Sarah and I have been following this pretty closely because Jim Steinman, who is the guy who wrote and produced, he wrote and produced "Bat Out of Hell" too, and he wrote the original "Bat Out of Hell."
Yes,
all the Meatloaf songs which is "Paradise by the Dashboard Light," "Bat Out of Hell," "You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth," "I'd Do Anything for Love," all of those. Plus, "It's All Coming Back to Me Now," "Making Love Out of Nothing at All."
Total Eclipse of the Heart,
Going Nowhere Fast, anything that starts with a solo piano and somebody going, la, 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 and then it ends with like a huge chorus, that's a Jim Steinman song. And so the idea that Meatloaf was going to do a Bat Out of Hell 3 without Jim Steinman was sort of, that idea was an apostasy to those of us who are Jim Steinman fans, as they were kind of wrangling over the trademark, and so they have reached some sort of rapprochement.
They dropped their multi-million-dollar lawsuit.
All right.
That's that.
All right. Well, let's try to do this. Do you want to do his clown watch?
Sure, let's do a clown watch. Why not?
Let's put on a show. Here's your clown watch for Tuesday in the Rick Emerson Show.
This is a clown watch.
This is the city.
A man and a clown mask who allegedly tried to withdraw money from a Valley West ATM machine. This is in Arcata, which is in California. Sparked a 90-minute standoff. Officer Bob Martinez of the Arcata Police Department said that the suspect, identified as 34-year-old Aaron Ray Holland, was first reported by a passerby wearing a clown mask and pumping gas at a Chevron station. He was later reported by bank employees attempting to withdraw money from the Coast Central Credit Union ATM one block away, still wearing the clown mask. Holland had stolen a number of bank and credit cards and was attempting to use them. After failing to get cash in the machine, Holland reportedly returned to his residence in the Town and Country Trailer Park, a block and a half from the ATM, and was seen removing electrical tape from a license plate in the minivan he was driving. Officers laid upon electrical tape in the van and performed a search. One resident of the park reported seeing him talking to a little girl outside his trailer. And was concerned he might be trying to take her hostage.
See, here's the thing. Is it stuff that wouldn't normally be creepy becomes creepy as soon as the clown factor is put into it.
And a clown in the trailer park.
Guy talking to a small child. Happens all the time. It's probably innocent 100 times out of 101 times. A clown talking to a little girl is the most terrifying thing ever. And I got people in the audience who don't understand the fear of clowns. It's not like I'm terrified of clowns.
No.
You know, you see a clown in the right context, it's perfectly fine. If you're driving, and this is the example I constantly use. If you were driving down a backcountry road at 2 in the morning, it's pitch black, you're driving by yourself, no one else in the car, illuminated only by the faint flicker of the radio, and you see a clown by the side of the road holding balloons and waving slowly at you, you are going to pee your pants and you're going to die. In that order. Your bladder will go and then your heart will give out. That's it. That's why I think we need to start. This is why we need to establish ourselves as the clown station par excellence, because I'm telling you,
this is your station for clowns.
Clown seeks, prefers Tulsa area. We'll relocate. I'm telling you now, because I can sense the zeitgeist. Because remember when it was all monkeys all the time? I don't mean the band, I mean the creature. All the jokes were monkeys, trunk monkeys, so forth. Now it's all pirates. Right now we're at the top of that pirate wave. I'm telling you, clowns. Soon it's going to be clowns. Everybody's going to be talking about clowns.
I thought you said it was ninjas after pirates.
Well, I think there was a little stage where it was ninjas. There was a lot of videos going around the internet with ninjas. There was some ninja humor happening. I do believe, though, that clowns are on the horizon. They're the next thing. And so we got to stake that claim right now.
Clowns have always been there.
I'm saying
it's going to be in commercials and what?
They're going to be big. I'm saying they're going to be the next big thing. Clowns, see, pirates are the new monkeys. Clowns going to be the new pirates. We got to stake that. Look, because if we don't, we're just going to turn it on and goddamn Dari and Skippy are going to be doing it. You know what I mean? Which I guess they will anyway. We just got to plant that flag now, though. You know it's true. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, I guess that's the end of the clown watch.
Don't we have like four different clown stories?
Well, they're in my bag with all the rest of the clowns in the clown file in my black bag in the other room.
I only brought the clown file in my black bag.
I mean, we barely do one clown watch. I didn't know we were going to do some others.
I'm sorry. Were you not properly apprised of today's impending clown news?
I knew it was a possibility.
You did not know we were going to be plying our clown trade?
It was not a clown promise.
Okay.
It was not a promise.
There's something there. Clown. Now, there's some pun, but it's eluding me. It's just beyond my fingernail grasp. All right. All right, there's your clown watch for, thank you. Do you want to do the top five and break, or breaking on top five, sir? All right. A break. We'll come back with what? How long? Like 12 minutes?
Probably about 10.
All right, that's good. No, that's good. All right. Come back after this with the top five songs about being a rock and roll star. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Good Lord. Good God Almighty. Hello, it's welcome to the final segment of today's program, which is, of course, the saddest part of the broadcasting day. So, this show, has just zipped by, but the show seems to have had the weight of five or six shows. This whole program has just been exhausting. Trying to keep Scotty from being arrested. And so forth. All right, we're here with Dennis Pitzenbauger for the Portland Tribune and Tim Riley at the City Desk. Let us now roll today's top five.
Five, four, three, two, one, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Oh, by the way, it was Calgon, apparently. And Nate sent me the Wikipedia entry, and somebody sent me, I believe, a YouTube link to the actual commercial. All right, there you go. We want to congratulate our good friend Kristen, who made it on the front page of the Living section today. And it's another yet another article about Storm, right? Isn't it a picture of her there? All right. A stage dive lifts her up for more, says the Oregonian. Don't forget Rockstar Supernova tonight at 9, right?
Yes.
Tonight at 9 o'clock. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley with today's Top 5.
And as we head into another Tuesday night with Rockstar Supernova, firmly locked into our evening plans, we ponder the realities of rock, roll, and the pursuit of worldwide fame and infamy. And who better to sing the songs of stardom than rock and roll stars themselves? These are the top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star. Honorable mention going to Wasp, I Want to Be Somebody.
This is Wasp, I Want to Be Somebody, which is a fantastic... The whole reason for this top five, really, is just to play this song. Nate and I were talking about this the other day, actually. And this whole program is just an excuse to play Blackie Lawless songs. Wasp was produced by the same guy that produced the Metal Health album for Quiet Riot, a guy named Spencer Proffer, who had a huge falling out, I believe, with Quiet Riot and decided that he was then going to find another band and make them sound exactly the same, which is what Wasp is all about. This guy's still out touring, just big and puffy, bad fake wig stapled to the top of his head. It's all very sad. This video's got a great moment where he's drinking blood out of a skull and then throwing meat into the audience, though. I think it's time for a Wasp cover band to come out. That's this big, stupid, boomy 80s production right there. It's fantastic. All right, it's your top five with Tim Riley.
Number five, AC/DC with Rock and Roll Singer.
Rock and Roll Singer, which is, this is off, what is this, off High Voltage? I can never get it straight in my head because there's that weird thing that AC/DC did where there's, I think it's High Voltage where there's the Australian version and then there's the American version of that record, and I think they got two different sets of songs on them. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Well, in any event, I think this is off of High Voltage. We had to limit ourselves. This is like the Beach Boys and Car songs, though. We had to limit ourselves to one AC/DC song about being a rock and roll singer, because otherwise it would just be all AC/DC. We should just do a whole day where it's just nothing but AC/DC bum music. I could easily do that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Number four, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Into the Great Wide Open.
Now, the last time, this is actually the second run-through on this top five, because the last time we got kind of cut off, we didn't really have to dwell on these songs as long as we would have liked. But I was noting this is a fantastic video because it's got Johnny Depp, and I forget who the woman is. It's Johnny Depp, what's her name, Faye Dunaway, and then somebody, and I want to say that it was one of the Arquettes. That played Johnny Depp's girlfriend in this video. And then Tom Petty played the roadie. But the video has an extended version of the song where they add in like another bridge and another solo. Because this song just ends, I don't know, it sort of ends unresolved. It ends with that line about they made a record and it went in the charts and then it ends. Great song though.
Found a nightclub, we could work at the door. She had a guitar and she taught him some chords. The sky was the limit.
And this is from that period where everything Tom Petty did sounded like ELO, because it was all produced in Jeff Lynne's garage.
Into the great wide open.
All right, here's Tim Riley. We're doing the top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star.
Number three, Chuck Berry, Johnny B. Good.
Which we've talked about as being sort of the song in this genre. This is sort of this is the definitive song. Probably the mother song of all of these. Probably the very first rock song that I can think of that is about itself, the process of becoming a rock and roll star. It's sort of a, a thinly veiled autobiographical song about Chuck Berry himself. This is a great song. And this is, I believe, I may be wrong about this, but I don't think I am. They may have sent an Elvis song too, but I know that when they sent, was it Viking? Is that that thing? Which is not the one that went to Mars? What is that thing, Tim? What is that the space probe they sent into space that they loaded all the examples of human language onto it and the Newtonian drawing of the human form? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Not a clue.
That knowledge is in your clown bag.
Was it an American spacecraft?
Yes. No, there's... Yes.
I know it was a big buildup.
No. There's... I forget what it was, but there was some... NASA launched some probe a few years ago.
I believe you.
And they did this great thing where they put on the side, they put like greetings in like a bunch of different languages, and they put a bunch of math, you know, it's like in Contact, there was that mathematical formula for like 1 + 1 = 2, and they put the Fibonacci sequence, which is a mathematical sequence, on there.
The Wyoming? I can't read your writing.
Are you and Dennis just writing notes to each other?
Oh, the Voyager.
Perhaps. Well, whatever.
The Wyoming.
Wait, hold on. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Please now to be telling me who this is.
Hold on. This is Dante, the cab driver.
Yes. How can I help you, sir?
It was Voyager, dude.
All right. Thank you. See?
We just said that.
See how easy that was? Okay. Sorry. Anyway, but they sent along a record, you know, like a record and a stylus made of gold. And they put on greetings in a bunch of languages, a bunch of earth sounds, and Johnny B. Goode. So there you go. Alien somewhere listening to Chuck Berry.
It took a long time for that little piece of information.
Here's Tim Riley.
At number two, Bad Company with Shooting Star.
How great is this song? We don't have time to play the whole thing,
was
but
this
I encourage...
loaded aboard a spaceship and sent into outer space by...
Just... Let me do this my
Let's
way.
Let's hit the post. Like that.
Hey, you can get this job at a mid-level country station in Akron that they're advertising here.
I could do this if I really wanted to.
This was then thin. This was, I won't say stolen, but this was very obviously rewritten a few years ago by Travis Tritt into a song called I Want to Be Somebody, I'm Gonna Be Somebody, which is essentially just this song rewritten about a country kid. And so this is a classic rock and roll song, too, because it ends with a guy dying of an overdose.
Hey, mama, I'm going away. I'm going to hit the big time, going to be a big star someday, yeah. Mama came to the door with a teardrop in her eye. Johnny said, don't cry, mama, smile and wave goodbye.
Don't you know? When I was a kid, I was the most phenomenal Bad Company fan ever because they were on Zeppelin's record label. Great song. Counting down the top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star.
And now, at number one, it's Foreigner with Jukebox Hero.
All right. I did make this observation last time that I'm not a huge Foreigner fan. Foreigner's a terrible band. And people don't like to say that, but it's true. Foreigner's an awful band, but this is a great song. There's no denying the greatness of this song.
Couldn't get a ticket. It was a sold-out show.
Tim Riley.
Heard the roar of the crowd.
Now I heard he's gone. I just turned my back and he's vanished.
Where did he go?
You know what he is? Tim Riley is sort of the Snuffleupagus of news. No, come here and meet Tim Riley. No, he was here. How great is this? What else could be on this list? Was I Right or Wrong by Skynyrd? Rock and Roll Band by Boston? Cover of the Rolling Stone by Dr. Hook? That could be on this list.
Just about anything from any AC/DC band.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you got just one on there.
Well, it was sort of a rule. Summer of 69 by Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, yeah.
I think. That's sort of about being a rock and roll star. Every terrible band has one great song. Fantastic.
It's a rock and roll.
Top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. And you actually got car questions this week, unprompted.
I thought that was great.
All right.
And I found out where to go get some grass.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's see. Mailman Chris.
Hey, real quick.
Yes, sir.
You got the Clown Watch. You got to Mel Gibson. You got to Scotty in downtown Portland. You got to The Weeknd. Gary Baumgarten and Lisa Goddard. Do we have a celebratory sounder ready?
I'm huge.
That's fantastic. So, are you saying that I actually got to everything today?
You got to everything you pimped, plus the three that you missed yesterday. The top five, the R&R, Scott, Dally, Dennis.
That's what I'm talking about.
So you actually went from 25 to the official new tally of 24.
Yeah! In your face! That's how I roll, brother. All right, Mailman Chris, thank you, sir.
Five more weeks and you'll be down to zero.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the helpful thoughts. Here you go, Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the of Rick Emerson Show. Dennis, coming up in your world. When is it? I always forget. Is it every first Saturday? When the hell does your TV thing air?
This coming Saturday will be the Comcast show on Channel 14, 1 yes. o'clock. And, of course, that is gearing up for September 24th.
Gearing up.
That was morning show thing.
All right.
Gearing up for the 24th of September, which will be the first of the broadcast shows on the CW network.
Very cool. The CW network, really?
Yeah. We're going broadcast, baby, weekly. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
it's kind of like WB.
Okay. Is Brad in this picture with Kristen?
Of course he is.
Of course he is.
Sitting down, right sipping
there.
Drinks.
Right there.
He is the king. Brad gave me one of the coolest cars I've ever tested. It's a huge Sprinter van.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's like driving a motorhome without having a toilet with you.
There you go, kids. Dennis Pitzenbarger of the Portland Tribune. It's 503-733-2970. We want to thank Dennis. We want to thank Kristen Bowie for coming in today. We want to thank Scotty J and everybody who appeared at downtown for that. We want to thank Lisa Goddard and radio correspondent Gary McCarthy as well from Gary Baumgarten from CNN. All right, like us next. Don and Mike at 7. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon, as always, my friends. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?